Osho, beyond psychology, responses to disciples' questions, given in Punta del Este, Uruguay. Discourse number 42.
Beloved Bhagwan, the gift of being here with you is overshadowed by a sense of unworthiness. It troubles me because I don't feel as available to you as I could be. Can you help me to dissolve this?
It is something very essential to understand that people who are really worthy always feel unworthiness, and the people who are really unworthy never feel it. Not feeling it is part of unworthiness. Feeling it is part of worthiness. The question is from Kirtan. It is good that one feels it, because there are no limits of worthiness. You can go as high as you desire. It is just like the sky. And to feel it means the ego is dissolving. The ego never feels unworthy. It wants to prove everybody else unworthy, and only I am worthy. It is humbleness that feels unworthiness and a pain which can give birth to a new life. So don't take it as a problem. Accept it as a blessing. Let the ego completely dissolve. It cannot stand the feeling of unworthiness. These are few things in life which function in a strange way. A real lover never feels that he is loving as much as he should. He is always feeling something more can be done, something better can be done. It is part of real love, these feelings. And a hypocrite lover always feels that he is the biggest lover in the world. He is fake. He has no love. Hence the feeling that more can be done does not arise in him. On the contrary, he will try to prove that the other is not loving enough. Life in one sense is very simple and in another sense very complex. Don't take it at its face value. It is perfectly good on the way to feel unworthy. It will create humbleness, egolessness, gratitude, selflessness. And once you have understood that this feeling of unworthiness is one of the most beautiful gifts of life, once you start enjoying it, then it goes on opening doors of more mysteries. A point comes, you disappear, and with your disappearance, unworthiness also disappears, because it cannot hang without you. So go on keeping it as a religious phenomenon, as part of your meditation, and it will lead you to the right place where the last trace of your self disappears. With it, unworthiness also disappears. That does not mean you start feeling worthy. It simply means worthiness or unworthiness become irrelevant. You are beyond both. So what is happening to you is perfectly right. Go on deeply in it and go rejoicing, not with his sadness that I am unworthy. That sadness will prevent. Not taking it as a problem that it has to be solved. No, it has not to be solved, it has to be dissolved. But the dissolution is not in your hands. when it reaches to its ripeness, it dissolves itself. And when one does not think in terms of worth, one becomes part of the vast isness that surrounds you. There are millions of flowers. No flower feels unworthy. It may be just a grass flower. But neither the lotus feels worthy. Those qualities don't exist in nature because the ego does not exist there. Our all problems are somehow or other related with the ego. If you were feeling worthy, then it was dangerous. That will feed the ego, nourish the ego. But you are feeling unworthy. That is perfect. Perfectly the right thing to go deep into it.
Beloved Bhagwan, in discourse the other morning, I had a realization that is so obvious I cannot believe I just got it. I've been dehypnotized. The process started the moment I heard your voice 10 years ago. Today I felt so close to something. You could have said, count to three and you will be awake. I can't believe how deeply programmed we are against hypnosis. And however so gently, you have been pointing that out to us, so much so that we even think it is an insult when people say, Bhagwan has hypnotized you, when in fact it's the greatest gift on the earth. Your patience, brilliance, compassion, mastery and wisdom has me in constant awe.
I was really going to say, Kabisa, 1, 2, 3. But I thought, dehypnotizing Kabisa before everybody else. It's not right manners. So I remained silent. But he heard it anyway. What she is saying is exactly true. My talking to you has not the ordinary purpose that talking serves. Indoctrination. That is not the purpose of my talks. I don't have any doctrine. My talking is really a process of dehypnotization. Just listening to me slowly, slowly, you will be free of all the programs that the society has forced you to believe in. Just by listening, with an open heart, with receiving gratefulness, it is bound to happen. There have been hypnotists, but nobody has ever tried speaking itself as a method of dehypnotizing. It can become a music in you, can relax you, can make you silent, can give a new rhythm to your heart. A new feeling of my presence . A new perception of reality. And I may be talking about anything, it is not the question that I am talking about these things. These are byproducts. I may be talking about A or B or C, which are absolutely unrelated with dehypnosis. The question is your way of listening. If it is right, then whatever I am saying will relax your being totally. And slowly, slowly, your conditionings will start falling apart. And I want to do it this way, I don't want to hypnotize you. That means first to make you unconscious. This way, there is no need to make you unconscious. You become more conscious, more alert. You are becoming conscious and alert to listen to me. But my purpose is not that to teach you something, but to use teaching as an excuse to make you conscious, alert, so you can start touching the super consciousness in you. And from super consciousness, a higher quality of hypnosis arises. the ordinary methods of hypnosis can be dangerous. You can be in the hands of a person who can use you against yourself, because you are unconscious. You are not in a better state than your normal consciousness. Nobody before has used speaking as helping you to become superconscious. So I need not say to you, drop this, drop that. I do not have to give you post-hypnotic suggestions. Everything will be happening here now. And it will be happening in your fully alert state. So you cannot be used, cannot be misused. You cannot be exploited. Hypnotism became condemned because people started exploiting. And anybody who himself is as unconscious as you are can use the technique of hypnotism. That's why it became condemned. Otherwise, such a beautiful phenomenon which can help you towards meditation. Would not have been condemned. My way cannot be misused. And when people say to you that you are hypnotized, don't feel hurt. Tell them, yes, we have been hypnotized to wake up. We have been hypnotized to enter into superconsciousness. We have been not hypnotized to go into lower realms of your mind, but to the higher superconscious or collective superconscious. And finally, if you simply go on listening to me, doing nothing, the cosmic consciousness is going to be your experience. But I have never said before and people have always wondered that if I don't have a religion, don't have a doctrine, don't have a teaching, then why I go on talking to people I could not say to them, they will not understand. Only those who will experience the relaxation of superconsciousness will be able to see the point, and then certainly, as Kabisa says, they will understand that how long I have been waiting and how long I have been patient and how I have been condemned for things which have nothing to do with me, but I have remained silent. Because it does not bother me. Only thing that I am interested is my people should attain to the state from where they cannot fall before I leave the body. I cannot give you anything more precious.
Beloved Bhagwan, how might we sannyasins best relate with one another? We are such an amazing assortment of unique individuals, all determined to be ourselves and avoid society's impositions. Yet we are all joined by a common thread, love, our love for you. And we all long for the moment when we can melt into you, when we can finally come home.
It is not difficult. Only the individuals can relate. The personalities cannot. Personalities are like shadows. They cannot meet, they cannot merge, because they don't exist. Personalities are fake. That's why in the whole world people are talking of love, but there is no love. Talking of friendship, but there is no friendship. Even talking of trust, but for that a tremendously powerful individuality is needed. Personalities cannot trust. They are always afraid. Afraid that their reality may be exposed, may be known. As far as my people are concerned, there is no problem. It is not a question of fighting for individuality. I declare you individuals. So your individuality is not a problem that you have to protect. You can mix and merge. You can be friends, you can be lovers, you can work together, you can work under each other without any fear, because you have the personality. Dropped, which was always afraid, now you have individuality, a solid rock. Which is fearless. I have told you the story of Diogenes, that he was caught by four thieves. They wanted to sell him into a slave market. They were very happy to find such a beautiful, healthy individual. First they were afraid and they were hiding behind the trees where Diogenes was sitting, thinking that he alone is enough to finish all four of us. He was a strong man. Diogenes was listening to their whispers that what to do. Although we are four, but he alone is enough. Diogenes finally said, "Don't bother. Just come. And take me where you want." They were very much afraid that what kind of man is this. They said, "We are thieves and we want to take you to the slave market because we can get the highest price ever anybody has got, because we cannot find slaves of your individuality, beauty, proportion, strength." Diogenes said, "Don't be worried." They started trying to tie him. He said, "Stop, there is no need to bind me. You come behind me. I know the way." They could not believe that man is mad or what. And he started moving towards the slave market. And anybody who saw them on the way thought that he is the master and they are the slaves, those four poor thieves, so afraid that this man can do anything. This man we got unnecessarily involved with. And he did. He stood on the pulpit where a slave has to stand so every buyer can see, go around and look at him. And he shouted, "Listen, you all the slaves who are here. For the first time, a master is for sale. If any one of you have guts, you can purchase me." That these poor fellows, four fellows you see, they need money. And it does not matter to me where I am. My individuality cannot be destroyed. There was great silence. The whole marketplace became utterly silent because he said, "A master is for sale. One king who had come to look for few slaves became interested and he was ready to pay any price. Diogenes asked the thieves, "How much you want?" "And don't be shy. Just ask it. Get the money and get lost." They got the money. Diogenes sat on the chariot with the king. And the king said, "This is strange. You should not have done that." He said, "Those poor fellows were in need. And as far as I am concerned, wherever I am, I will remain myself." Even the king became afraid, because only those two were on the chariot. And the man was so strong, he could simply grabbing the neck of the king could have finished him. He said, "But don't be worried, I can finish you right now. But I will not finish. You have helped those four poor men. I will come with you and I will serve as a slave." Because even in slavery, my freedom is intact. I am choosing it. Nobody is imposing it upon me. Do you see the difference? A slavery imposed is only slavery. A slavery accepted, chosen, is the highest expression of freedom. You are so certain of your being, of your individuality, that you are not worried even of becoming a slave. The king was happy. He said, "No, I will not make you a slave, but a friend. As far as I understand, you must be Diogenes. I have heard about the man. and I feel that there cannot be many Diogenes. You must be Diogenes. Diogenes said, I am. And he lived with the king in the palace, naked as he used to live, in his own way. The king asked him that in the palace it looks odd, embarrassing, you should use clothes. Diogenes said, then you better don't make me a friend, you make me a slave. If friendship cannot allow freedom, what kind of friendship is this? You make me a slave, then whatever you say, I will do. But the king had started loving the man. His sincerity, his authority, his power was magnetic. He freed him. He said, I cannot make you a slave, and I know I cannot make you a friend. In the palace, living naked, where other kings come and stay, it will be always a problem. Diogenes said, that is your decision. I am simply your slave. If you make me free, that's perfectly okay. I am happy that those four poor people have been helped. And I have found a beautiful way to help poor people. If sometimes somebody is poor, I can tell him, take me to the slave market and sell me. Here with me, your individuality is accepted, declared. So you need not be worried about that it will be taken away, that it can be crushed by others, that somebody may enslave you, force you to do things. Don't be worried. Nobody can force you. You have always the choice. Ultimately, you are to decide. And it is good to decide in a way so the people who are with me don't feel any antagonism between them. They love me. That is a joining thread. There is no organization. Each sannyasin is connected to me individually. But because he is my sannyasin, other sannyasins who are joined with me have to be respectful of each other. Because each of my sannyasin somehow represents me. Your love for me must be shared with my people too.
Beloved Bhagwan, I understand you to have said that in hypnosis, one's problems can be worked out on an unconscious level, and that this method has the advantage over psychotherapy in that it can cover a lot more ground in a far shorter time. Is it necessary merely for the contents of the unconscious to surface during hypnosis? Or does the conscious mind need to be made aware of those contents for the clearing to be complete?
The conscious mind has to be made aware. Otherwise, there will be no change. The contents of the unconscious mind are repressed by the conscious mind. To reverse the process, they have to be brought back to the conscious mind. And conscious mind has to express them instead of repressing them. Because of repression, they had gone into the unconscious. Unless the reverse process of expression is there, they will remain. They can be available to the hypnotist, but the conscious mind does not know about it. For the conscious mind, they are still repressed. And it is only through the conscious mind that they have the way to go out of your being. From the unconscious mind directly, there is no door. A contact can be made, but there is no way for any content to go out of unconscious mind directly. First, it has to come to the conscious mind. It is just like your main gate. You have entered from the main gate. If you want to go out, you have to go to the main gate. Otherwise, you will remain confined. Unconscious mind, and as deeper you go, the walls become thicker. Collective unconscious mind has more thicker walls. And cosmic unconscious mind is almost unapproachable. Very difficult by even the hypnotist. To find out what is hidden there. But if first the unconscious mind's contents are released through the conscious mind, bringing them to the notice of the conscious mind. Not only to the notice, but the recognition, acceptance and expression. That's why I said it should be recorded as a proof. Otherwise the unconscious mind will deny. If you say to somebody that you want to marry your mother, the conscious mind will simply deny that it is all nonsense. What are you talking? I have never thought about it. And he is right, he has never thought about it. But the mother was the first woman in his life. And he loved her, and he got her love, and he has been jealous of the father since then. That's why every society has made it a discipline to respect your father. That is just to prevent the natural tendency of being jealous and disrespectful. And every society has made it a point that you cannot even be allowed to think that you would like to love your mother. Even to think of it, you will feel you are just being mad. But there was a day in your childhood when you had longed it. Slowly, slowly you repressed it. That was not allowable. So just if the hypnotist tells you that this thing is in your unconscious, you are not going to accept it. So it should be recorded. And not one time, but many times, so that you can be made clearly alert that this content is there, and you can relax and let that content come directly to your conscious mind, not by the information through the hypnotist. You follow me? He is telling you, but that will not help. His telling can only do one thing if he can convince you that such a content exists in your unconscious mind. And you allow it in your silence to surface to the conscious mind. From there it can be released. You know that it is absurd. It has no meaning. Perhaps in your childhood you had the desire, but now you can understand it is meaningless and you can release it. Rather than repressing inside, you can throw it out. And as the unconscious becomes empty, then the collective unconscious starts speaking. Only then. As the collective unconscious becomes empty, then there is a possibility of the cosmic unconscious to speak. And once your whole lower part of the mind, the depth of your mind, is cleaned away, it is such a freshening experience, as if 24 hours you are taking showers. And once this lower part is unburdened, then you are ready to move upwards very easily. But the conscious mind is the only door for the higher, for the lower. Anything that is going to happen has to happen through the conscious mind. Sigmund Freud and his school has not been very successful for the simple reason. You will be surprised to know that first he had been an apprentice of a hypnotist, a very famous hypnotist in France. It is there only that he developed the idea of psychoanalysis. That what comes up in deep hypnosis can be brought through the dreams. But he forgot one thing, and that's what is missing in psychotherapy. First, you cannot remember all your dreams. 6 hours you are dreaming. You can remember perhaps one dream, the last, when you were just waking up. Secondly, you cannot be convinced that a dream is a reality. Thirdly, the dream is not going to repeat itself. And for any scientific work, repeated experimentation is absolutely necessary so that you can come to a conclusion without exception. A dream may come once and may not come again, because there are so many dreams. So the person's conscious mind is never convinced that this dream content has any reality. Thirdly, The dream is a different language. It is not the language of the conscious mind. It is pictorial. It is not alphabetical. And that is one of the greatest troubles. And because of it, psychoanalysis has to disappear. It cannot continue. So the whole thing depends on the psychoanalyst to interpret. He can tell you the dream, but the dream says nothing unless he interprets it. Now that interpretation may be just his personal prejudice. And that's how, if you go to Freud, everything comes to sex. Whatever you dream, you cannot dream anything out of which he will not conclude that it is sex repression. The same dream you take to Jung and it will be from the collective unconscious, a myth, a mythology from your past lives. Take the same dream to Adler and it is nothing but ambition, will to power. So if there are 1,000 interpreters, there will be 1,000 meanings to the dream. In hypnosis, it is not a pictorial language that the unconscious uses. He uses the same language as the language conscious mind uses, because he is talking to a person's conscious mind, the hypnotist. So it is very simple and very clear. Sigmund Freud thought that he has developed a better method, for the simple reason because hypnotism is discarded, because it was condemned. Condemned by the society. But psychoanalysis has not helped. What I am doing here, if you are just listening to me and your conscious mind becomes silent, the unconscious mind itself starts releasing its vapor. No language is needed, neither of dream nor ordinary language. It is just a repressed energy that starts coming up to the conscious and is released through the conscious. Once we have cleaned the lower side, then we can easily move to the upper realm. But that too, one has to go through the conscious mind. And the upper wing is not having anything. Nothing is repressed there. So there is no question that psychoanalysis will ever discover it, or any other school of psychology will ever discover it, because it has no dreams, it has no repressions, it is utter purity. Clean the lower mind, and just a simple method of meditation will give you the wings to move upwards. There is no barrier. You get more and more into light, deeper and deeper into bliss, and finally you come to a point where even you are no more. Nirvana.
Beloved Bhagwan, why is it that we are never quite satisfied with who we are and what existence has given us? We are always looking for something better to do, looking for someone else to be, always wanting what the other one has more than what we have been given. Like the saying goes, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Why is this?
It is because you have been distracted. You have been directed where nature has not meant you to go. You are not moving towards your own potential. What others wanted you to be, you are trying to be, but it cannot be satisfying. When it is not satisfying, the logic says perhaps it is not enough. Have more of it. Then you go after more. Then you start looking around, and everybody is coming out with a mask, which is smiling, happy looking. So everybody is deceiving everybody else. You also come with a mask, so others think you are happier. You think others are happier. The grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, but from both the sides. The people who are living on the other side of the fence, they see your grass, and it looks greener. It really looks greener, thicker, better. That is the illusion that distance creates. When you come close, then you start seeing that it is not so. But people keep each other at a distance. Even friends, even lovers keep each other at a distance. Too much closeness may be dangerous. They may see your reality. And you have been misguided from the very beginning. So whatever you do, you will remain miserable. Because nature has no idea of money. Otherwise, dollars would have been growing on the trees. Nature has no idea of money. Money is pure invention of man. Useful, but dangerous too. You see somebody with much money, you think perhaps money brings joy. Look at that person, how joyous he seems to be. So run after money. Somebody is healthier, run after health. Somebody is doing something else and looks very contented, follow him. But it is always the others and the society has managed that you will never think about your own potential. And the whole misery is that you are not being yourself. Just to be yourself, and then there is no misery and no competition and no botheration that others have more, you don't have more. And if you like grass to be greener, there is no need to look at the other side of the fence. You can make the grass greener on your side of the fence. It is such a simple thing to make the grass greener. Just looking everywhere else and all the lawns are looking so beautiful except yours. Man has to be rooted into his own potential, whatever it is. And nobody should give him directions, guidance. They should help him wherever he is going, whatever he is becoming. And the world will be so contented that you cannot believe. I have never felt any discontent. Even from my childhood, for the simple reason because I never allowed anybody to distract me from what I was doing or what I was trying to be. That helped me immensely. It was difficult. And the difficulties went on growing. And now the whole world is against me. But it does not disturb me. I am perfectly happy. Perfectly content. I can't think that I could have been otherwise. In any other position, I would have been miserable. I don't have a home, I don't have a place to live, I don't have any money. Still, I have something that gives me absolute contentment. I have lived according to my potential. And even if death comes, it will not upset me. I have lived my way. The whole world may be against me. It does not upset me. People get upset even if one person is against them. They get so upset, I cannot even understand. Hasya was saying, Bhagwan, soon we will be running out of countries. I said, that does not matter. First to run out of countries, then we will find something else. We can have a big boat and live on the boat. Because I said in Crete that if you don't allow me any land anywhere, I will have a jet plane and I will be living on that, they immediately started a movement that I cannot land on any airport of Europe. I'm really enjoying that a single person who has no power can make these pygmy politicians just go out of their mind. I had just mentioned, and immediately European Parliament has tabled a resolution which they will be discussing soon and passing, that I cannot land on any airport of Europe. But we will find some way. In Europe there are communist countries, Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia. We can land on their airports. They cannot prevent me just landing me. But we can have a big ship with thousands of sannyasins on it and just live on the ship. And let them do what they can do to bomb the ship or do whatsoever they want to do. But one thing is certain, they cannot upset me. They had tried in American jails to upset me in such ways that anybody would have been upset. They will wake me up at 4 o'clock. Sleep was impossible. So it was not a problem to me because I was just lying down with closed eyes. They will wake me at 4 o'clock, that you get ready. 5 o'clock, U.S. Marshal is coming and he will be taking you to the airport. So I will get ready and wait. From 5 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the evening, just sitting, waiting, and the man will appear at 5 o'clock in the evening. And I ask that you must have got into some trouble. 12 hours late, and you just live 3 blocks away. As we became friendly after 3 days, he said, these are the tactics to harass people. You forgive me. I was going to come 5 in the evening, but I informed that I will come 5 in the morning. So your whole day you are sitting and waiting. But I said, what is upsetting in it? Anyway, I would have been sitting and there is nothing else to do. The world is against individuality. It is against your being just your natural self. It wants you just to be a robot. And because you have agreed to be a robot, you are in trouble. You are not a robot. That was not the intention of nature to make a robot of you. So because you are not what you meant to be, what you were destined to be, you are constantly looking what is missing, perhaps better furniture, better curtains, better house, better husband, better wife, better job. Your whole life you are trying and rushing from one place to another. But the society has distracted you from the very beginning. My effort is to bring you back to yourself. And you will suddenly find all that discontent has disappeared. There is no need to be more. You are enough. Everybody is enough.